around you. Many people can quote it. But in one of the great chapters, Isaiah 63, you know what that chapter is all about. But I do want to mention some things here tonight. It's so elementary. It's so basic. But it is spoken. You know, I'm going to deal with the healing aspect of this tonight. But there are many diversities of need that we need healing for. I don't mean to bring up certain things to open wounds, but I still think about the COVID and the problems with the launch of these babies. Marilyn, can I tell what you told me about Monday night? That Sister Coleman, Jaden was going into her class this year. And she was so glad that preparations that were made. But Jaden was trying to be with God. Several times, I've looked up in that balcony, and she was there. And I've seen her a text quite often. My text is simple. I'm praying for you. I sent her a text during the prayer meeting Monday night because I was praying for she and Terry. Roger and Jim. She responded so quickly and so lovely. Thank you. But God, only God, can get you through a tragedy such as that. And I know many, many others have tragedies like that, and maybe even worse. Healing is for more than you getting you over your headache. It is more than the physical. It is also the spiritual. Many people are wounded. Well, let me put it this way. It's been well said that the church and Christians are the only people that bury their wounded. Sometimes through words, sometimes through actions, sometimes by and through a lot of things. It's not the physical. You didn't hit them in the face. You didn't knock a tooth out. You didn't injure them in that way. But there was something, maybe because of a state that they were in. Maybe they were susceptible due to something not new. But what it does, it creates a wound. He was wounded that my wounds may be healed. I thank God for every prayer He's ever answered. For me, I thank God for every healing I've experienced. I have had some experiences nobody knew about, maybe my wife. I've stood here, or I stood here behind this pulpit many, many times. I just knew that I didn't get something done. But I'm well. I've not had that maybe 20, 25 years. God worked that miracle. How did doctor tell me? If you do not get something done with this heart, you're going to be back in this hospital today, tomorrow, or the next day. And you will have a sheet on your face and I'll not be able to do anything for you. That's been over 50 years ago. I believe in physical healing. I believe that we have a right to go before God with a physical need. I believe I have a right to go before God for that wound, for that need of healing that is not in the body. I know people. I've got a meeting tentatively for tomorrow. I know people that need a mental healing. When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I believe that God is telling us the heart is defeated in the faith. Not necessarily the physical. Huh. because Gary and I were out, what day were we out in Bible? Tuesday? Yesterday? No, Monday. No. Tuesday and I were sisters. She's 3 years older than I am. They are remodeling that nursing home. She has epilepsy. She has that physical sickness. But they're remodeling that nursing home. And it is a major, major, major thing to her. Because they're moving her around. They're moving her things around. They're nailing on the roof. The floor is pulled up. They're painting the walls. It's work that has to be done. And we, you and I, we can understand and appreciate the work that they're doing. But to her, it is, I'm going to use the word abuse. She needs prayer. God knows where you are, no matter what it is, the physical, the spiritual, or something such as that right there. I want God to give my sister peace. I want God to heal her. But the tormenting thought, she's not making things up. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of men. There's a lot of equipment. It's just difficult for her to experience it. So I believe when you read Isaiah 53:5, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I'm going to endeavor tonight to break some of those things down into a more specific area. What does it mean that he has borne our grief? You can have grieving in the physical, but you can have grieving, troubling, such as what's going on in the person. But there's also the spiritual. I believe that with the one line in this, that with his stripes, with him, I believe he covered it up. When Jesus saved us, he didn't come down and say, I'm going to forgive you for smoking your cigarette, but I am not going to forgive you for that lie. What he does it entirely. He does it to the cross, and he does it so that there's none of that old nature. We become that new creation in Christ. It's possible to suffer in the body. I'm talking about a Christian. It's possible to suffer in the body. But the scripture says we have this treasure in an earthly vessel. Talking about two different things. Talking about the natural body, but talking about the treasure. When you're born of God, the reason you go straight to be with God when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that right? There's a lot of suffering, a lot of problems. In this life, right here in this church. I know when we read prayer requests, some people don't pay any attention. I know some people just don't think about it anymore. But I do. I do. And I believe we all do. And maybe we all do, and I just don't know. When one has a heartbeat, says the song, we all sing it to. Grief, as I said, trouble. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, where we see that Jesus, through and by his power, worked the work not only of redemption, but the taking of our needs. What did the Bible say? Sure, it could be said today. Maybe it's always said. Bring me your everything. Everything. Come and learn of me. You may be bowed under a
tremendous load. But we have a promise that He will heal. I can promise you right now, God knows I'm telling the truth. God knows I'm telling the truth. And I don't believe there's anyone in this building as far as feeling or feeling anybody to mark it. I don't have pain. I don't have pain. I'm not sick. Nothing. And it's not always that way, it's not always that. But what do we do when we have a physical need? What do we do when we have a spiritual need? We obey the word of God. Come and tell me about it. You need to follow, tell it to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Somebody said, oh, I don't think it's right to care about spiritual needs. I'm glad that God needs all of you. Now, let me tell you this thing. Sister Castle, laying in that ICU at that hospital in Texas County, just like it would be while we were daughter, we went out and visited in a family hospital. I cannot explain why my friends, when I came here in 1962, I want to cast a ball already. I spent a long time knowing. The church I went to in the beginning, Brother Castle had to get the church. That's how long I've been. Somebody may say, are you saying that we will not have any sorrows and troubles? I will tell you what I believe. I believe one way that God answers that prayer, I think, is to give me grace, to give me patience, to give me understanding, to allow me to know this one thing, that I'm not in it alone. My wife was telling me, I think it was yesterday, another story about my being here. We have sickle. I don't want to do it. I don't remember a thing about it. She was like my son. I told her, I said, you know, I heard one nurse tell me about this, and this is how much I need the Holy Spirit. She said, no, he's going to be able to survive. That's what they need to check in the world. Because when that stroke happens, you lose ability many times to swallow. Maybe you can swallow on one side. She said, they took you down, and by x-ray and fluids, they examined you to see whether you could swallow. I do not understand why I had that experience. I do not understand why Sponge Bullock is so sick tonight. I do not understand why my friend Bruce Cady is so sick tonight. Wanda Castle, Louis Sanders, you name them. But they do. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, says the Lord. But the Lord delivers them out of them. What does that mean? Does that mean you're going to be like old Alexander? You preach all of your life that you're going to live forever? He preached that. I never heard it. But I've talked to preachers that did it. He'd go in and preach their different meetings and whatever, and he would preach, you're never going to die. He took certain scriptures. The first one that he had to deal with the death was the death of his mother. She did everything he said, but he's not going to die. The next thing you know, he died. He died. We misunderstand and misinterpret the language of the Bible. The Bible has a language all its own. When he said, I heal all of your iniquities, right? I heal all of your diseases. His blood has forgiven me of my sins. It may take death to be revealed from my soul. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. However it works out, I'm healed. There's no sickness there. There's no wounds there. There's no pain there. There's no suffering there. That's the reason God tells us, you be faithful to be faithful. It's not he that willeth. It's not he that runneth. But it's he that giveth. Tonight, I'm not what I used to be, but neither am I what I'm going to be. Get the language of the Bible and understand that when we come to God with our needs, you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. Jesus said to Christ, I could not work among you because of your own belief. You didn't have faith. If there's anything in the Bible that I despise, God despises pain. Not only in my home, but in my circumstances, maybe to the stars of my life, has been based in my pain. Time to but I visited people. I visited, I was in the Baptist emergency community. The mother of a man in that church said he had a wreck. And she was pretty much dead. They're not immediately going to relieve your pain. They've got to find out your condition, what's going on. When I walked in, she's laying on the bed, and I said something to her, and when she answered me, her lips are glued together by blood. And when she answers me, from one side all the way over to this side is where it would be like her mouth is moving. How did a lady tell me that she literally tried to climb the walls because of the pain? I talked about this lady from over here people. Because of the pain of cancer. I don't like to see something. But neither would I have my children in my crucifixion. Watch my blessed suffer at the hands of those people. But he gave us his word. I don't preach all night. But do you remember in the book of Hebrews, we're talking about the death, and we're talking about the testament, that no testament, you take this word, that no testament is in place until there is the death of the testator out of the will. Have you gone? God only knows how many. I've amended it several times. I've heard of Christian Clinton. I said, something happens to me and my wife and me. Will you raise my daughter? It's in the will. This goes here, this goes there. It's in the lawyer's office. It's not worth the paper's written. We took out, of course, the deal's there. But it's not worth the paper's written. You know why? Because I'm still alive. You cannot take that document and go in and take my stuff and start dividing it to those that are studying in the country. You can't do it. Paul said, there's got to be the death of the testament. We call this the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is a will. It is a testament. And the difference is that when Jesus died, went to the heart of the earth, that was his death. But he rose. And every time that you read in the Word of God, and there's anything said, the devil says, that's not what that means. That's not true. That's not it. Jesus, who is a testator, that was crucified and raised from the dead. He said, I said it. I wrote it in my testament. That's exactly what I mean. Everything else is a lie. Everyone else is a thief and a robber. The devil. Try to rob you of your faith in God, your trust in God, your belief in God. I've never seen and heard of so much unbelief in my life. It is rampant. But Jesus warned us, when I come back to earth, will there be any faith? what he is saying. Their faith is going to wane. People are not going to believe. I believe in all of the scriptures referring to the physical and the spiritual. I believe in one as much as I believe in the other. This truth. You know why? Like Brother Clement said at that wedding at Rice University, when the woman said, I just don't want to think at least every word in the Bible is true. He said, no, I don't believe that I know it. She said, how do you know it? And he said, because every time I read it, the Holy Ghost will then be says, amen. But I think that's the way it happens. I don't get that. Just about it. I'm not running around trying to find some little form to put on my skin. He took our infirmities. He bore our diseases. He bore the experience of the cross is more than just coming down here to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He bore, B-O-R-E, he bore your sicknesses and diseases in his death on the cross. We don't know who is sinning, but that's not to say that we don't do some things wrong sometimes that God's not pleased with. What do we do? What do we preach about that? What do we do? We take right with God. I want to pray for a lady in the hospital. This is when I first came here. And I came here to teach the truth. For some time after that. And I had to talk to her because she was even upset with me. She said, Robert, I believe. I've always believed that Jesus would heal my every sickness. She said, when the doctor of my physical condition had to put me in the hospital, she said, I made up my mind that if I'm going to let the doctor do it, I'm just going to forget that healing. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. How many of you know what Luke was? That's what Jesus said. You know, the book of Acts. The gospel of Luke. My priest was funeral from the doctor to him. My text was about the physician. I said, this is it. I'm not a good man. I never will be. I'm not in the past. I'm not up there up here telling you that when you take that medication, let me tell you. I saw something on the internet. I didn't read it. What it is, they did a bunch of food. But they say they found a cure for diabetes. And a cure. And they showed a picture that they had an onion. And that person had that onion attached to their arm. I've been told that in, I don't know how true it is, I'm just telling you what I have heard. That Israel, in Israel, there is a perfect cure. I believe it's diabetes. In China, I've heard that there is a cure for Alzheimer's. I don't know. That's people that live in Monty, treating children in the church. But I know where there is a cure. By the one that bore the diabetes, that Alzheimer's, that heart condition, whatever it may be. He took it. He took the diseases. He didn't take it and kill you. He took the diseases. And in his own protection, he took it to the cross. And he bore it on the cross. All things work together for good. To them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Jesus did not always heal everybody the same way. You know, he had leprosy. You know, there's no cure for that. He cured. The Lord was cured. But the Lord couldn't. You know what I'm talking about? The mud in the eye was the spirit of Jesus in the mud. The point is, he can do anything he wants to do and do it any way he wants to do it. My command is to believe his word and whatever happens, accept him and be the Lord. If God will help me here today, the word, it's in Luke 4:18. He said, I have been sent to heal the broken heart. That's another one of those examples. A broken heart doesn't mean that no man is ripped to open. I mean, there's some situation of life, some crisis, some experience that has so devastated you that it's described as a broken heart. That's what he said. He said in Hebrews 12:13, let it rather be healed. It's not about any situation. Let it be healed. I want to see God heal these people that we talked about a while ago. I want to see Mr. Twain up there say, look, be raised up and healed. I preached to his daddy many times. Charlie Twain was his daddy. And I went to see if Charlie Cole and Mary Bill Illinois on his deathbed 30 or 40 years ago. He let me know that all of his life he had preached, he had believed, he had walked, and there was no fear. There was no bread. There was nothing. Okay. Lord, in your hands, I can be no slave. You have your way in your hands. So, bring this to a close. What am I saying to you? All of us believe in you. I believe in you. We need to be reminded that. That involves more. He did not describe that it was Jesus. He just said he healed all. So, if it's a new disease or an old disease, if they discover something that's never been before, it's already been healed. He healed them all. He didn't only heal the leper at his day, and the blind man at his day. He has healed every man at all times that will believe him. We need to cry out to God for this physical. My friends have a very difficult time in the physical. But I know people that are struggling in the spiritual. I tell you, there's only one thing that will break up a home in a marriage. It's a marriage. It's a marriage. Right? That's what we need. Is there a cure? That was an emotional and yes, a spiritual need, and we're going to cover it. That means that I will heal. We'll be reminded, Luke is also in the book of Luke. Jesus said, I give you power to heal the sick, and I give you power over all the power of the devil. Why did he break that up into two different statements? Why? Because there is a power of God that will take care of the physical. But when you're dealing with the spiritual, you're dealing with something more than just a bad action or a pain. You're dealing with the enemy that's in control of the situation. So we must be able to take care of that.